Good evening, sluts. I'm Shay.
And I'm Josh.
And this is our slutty podcast. So, tonight we're going to be kind of getting into a little bit of chit-chat about, like, what's been going on with us. Then we're going to get into owning who you are authentically as a slut, how that plays into kind of every aspect of your life, really, and how to navigate being in a pluralistic culture where the dominant paradigm is puritanical about sex.
Dude, you can always fucking tell, like, when I come up with titles of shit, it's like an academic fucking paper. Like, it's definitely not catchy.
Like, and I'm just like, we're out here taking dicks, man. Being slutty as fuck. This is what we're up to.
Love it.
So. All right. So before we crawled into Josh's little studio apartment, we went to the vape shop and we're looking at Elf bars, right? We're getting vapes. Plum. And we're looking at these Elf bars and Josh is like, we're talking in front of this guy, like he's watching us have this conversation, the guy who works there. And Josh just goes, oh, yeah, I was like smashing this chick the other week and like, and she had one of these and it was like awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I was banging this dude on Tuesday and he had one of these and it was fucking awesome. And I wonder sometimes how people perceive us when we behave in a way that's just, we're just 100% being who we are.
Right.
You know, I'm not in my head like, oh, maybe I shouldn't speak openly about this because we're in public in front of some fucking dude while he's at work. Like, this is just what we're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it kind of ties in with some of the other themes that we've kind of chatted about. Like, I think there's just like this like stigma of like, don't, you know, it's fine to have sex and it's fine to be sexual. Just don't talk about it. Just keep it to yourself. Don't put it on the internet, by the way. And don't mention it at work. And I'm like, is this like a scarlet letter? Like, should we like be like tattooed with a giant S or something on our fucking face so that people know you're a slut? Like,
I mean, I don't want to spend so much time worrying about like what is the appropriate context for this, because the more that I explore spaces where I can completely be myself and not trip about what I'm saying, like this podcast, like Twitter, like some of the relationships that I've developed with certain people where I just feel like I can like talk about it, like, oh, that feels so good. And when I have that confidence and like where I'm at, it spills into everywhere else. But anyway, that's what we're going to get into a little later. First, I want to ask Josh, or I guess have him speak a little bit on having some thoughts about potentially not doing this shit anymore.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I have been performing since I was a kid in different ways. Like, I've done plays, I've done bands, I've done videos, you know, porn, like, I've just, you know, been in front of people for a long time. It's mm-hmm. just a kind of like a part of who I am. It's, but there's this place that I think creatives get into where you start to judge your performance. And I feel like I'm number one. I think what prevents people from creating is the idea that they're not good enough, or you know, they shouldn't be doing what they're doing because they're not good enough, or it's shitty or whatever.
Or like their audience is perceiving them in a certain way.
Right. And it very well may be that. But when you study people, you know, we don't get multiple lifetimes to live. Whether or not, you know, we turn out to be a Van Gogh. Van Gogh didn't know he was Van Gogh when he was alive. He was just...
Are you comparing yourself to Van Gogh right now?
Obviously. Have you seen my paintings? Brilliant. Shameless plug. Anyway, the point is not whether or not we turn out to be not finding our audience until after we're dead, or we never find our audience. The point is that there is a genuine desire to create, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I get into that space, I have to be the editor. And so I'm very critical of myself. And like, I posted this on Twitter. I was like, what the fuck was I doing? Like, I was supposed to be interviewing you last show, and I was, like, fucking running my mouth for, like, minutes at a time. And, like, I tried to listen to the podcast, and I was fucking cringing. I was like, shut this motherfucker up. For real. Like, I wanted to DM that guy and be like, shut the fuck up, guy. Like, let her talk. This is what you guys said the show's about. And so I was like, you know, honestly, I was like, dude, I should just not do this. We can find, I'll produce. We can find a better co-host. You know what I mean? And it'll be awesome. Because the show is, like, its own thing. Obviously, like...
And I would have kept doing it with or without you.
Right.
You know? Because I feel very passionately about this. But, you know, we've had so much good feedback.
You feel like we've had good feedback. And see, I haven't tuned into any of that. In fact, I've tried not to listen or look at comments, even though I know they're there. I've tried to not... But then I got into a place where I started to, like, you shared some, because originally you shared some feedback from someone, and I was like, oh, really? You know, like, I was like, my first thought was it was a guy. I was like, oh, he just wants to fuck you. So he's, like, trying to blow your ego up. And then my second thought was, shut the fuck up and let your co-host talk more, you know? And, like, my third was, like, you suck at everything. You should kill yourself. Like, that was...
Sure.
That's where my brain...
Very logical
right,
mental progression.
Right.
There.
The Van Gogh syndrome, right? Cut your fucking ear off. It'll look right. Right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, upon further, you know, this is why I meditate, because, you know, I have an emotional reaction to how I think. And my reaction was, you need to... step back from this. So I was like, I'm quitting. And then, like, realistically, what I need to do is just give myself time to think about what we've created. And, you know, I mean, I looked at the fucking stats, and that show wasn't great. Like, as far as, like, as the other shows have been, like, much better, right? Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so some of the things I thought about doing was just, like, maybe we needed to talk about how we do the format, and, like, we're still exploring how we're doing the show. And, like, so, like, producer hat has to come on at some point.
Yes.
And then creator hat has to come off. And then, like, it's okay to be critical. And, but it's like having those boundaries in self is really where I, like, am learning how to do, you know, something that people are listening to.
Yeah.
Right.
And, speaking of people listening to it, I have some super good warm fuzzies from this morning. One of my soulmates, my best friend from college, she was blowing me up a little bit this morning. She was like, oh, I'm listening to the podcast. I'm getting so into it. And it's so nice to, like, hear you, like, talking about these things. And I mean, obviously, I fucking love her forever. So yeah. It's just nice to hear that. But this person was someone for me who was so influential, and, like, we had this formative period when she and I became friends where we were embracing this part of ourselves. I mean, I've always been, you know, slutty, promiscuous, polyamorous, way before I knew what to call it. And there was such deep-seated insecurity, which, of course, is a reaction to, like, society internalizing that, people being judgmental. But, you know, early on in college, I was probably about, you know, 19 or 20 when she and I got into this, like, our second year up there. And we hyped each other up, and we embraced this part of ourselves. We stopped caring what other people thought about it, and we just leaned into it. And honestly, ever since then, every once in a while, someone will say something about me being slutty, and I get a little, you know, icky feeling. But for the most part, I just don't care. This is who I am.
I love that. And it's funny, you know, people are sensitive, like, and I think rightfully so. I think we're fragile in some ways, but I think that fragility, it's like there's so much bullying that goes on. You're a beautiful, wonderful person, and you have so much to offer. And it's like, I've noticed that people want to own that. Like, there's this, I think there's a real sickness where if I can't have it, nobody can, right? And I think people use tools like gossip to sort of cancel each other in a or cancel people that they can't get or that they feel inferior to or they feel superior to. And especially in youth, where it's like your prefrontal cortex isn't even fully developed, so you can't really see that, like, shitting on someone, like a young lady that's discovering her own sexuality and discovering, you know, who she is, and then saying, oh, she's a fucking, you know, whatever, fucking...
saying she's a slut in a way that's not how I own it.
Yeah, and like, there are people that kill themselves over that shit, and like, never get to discover or be comfortable with who they are in the skin that they're in. And that's, like, the journey. Like, that's the good stuff. And it's, like, meeting someone that's on the same journey, and then, like, for me, like, when you sent me the text that she sent, like, this morning, I was, like... my heart just melted. I was like, okay, I want to know who this person is. Tell me more. Like, you know, because it was like, it was really uplifting and positive, and I could feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great that we, like, sort of reached out, had you reach out, because, like, I don't have any followers. That's fine. But, like, I, to see and get some feedback, and, like, that positive vibe, and, like, you know, we're here, I think, to really, you know, sometimes we're funny or whatever, but I think it's more important to just be like, it's okay to wear the scarlet letter. It's okay to own, you know, in spite of this culture that judges me for being XYZ, in their opinion, I'm going to go ahead and discover what I am. And I might not even be able to report on what that is until 20 years down the fucking road. You know what I mean? I'll cringe at this podcast if I make it. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever. But, like, having relationships like that, like, that, I was just touched, like, really touched by that. Like, I could feel that in what she wrote. And I was just
and she's such a special person. And the relationship that I have with her and what we shared during those very formative years in our young adulthood, it's just absolutely...
do you want to talk about any of that?
Priceless. I mean, she and I, it's really funny. I've been hanging out with this other person that was in school with us at the time. And I mean, he said some cool stuff earlier this week, but he said a while ago to me, he's like, you guys were like a power couple. And I mean, we were not together in like a romantic fashion. I mean, we had sex with each other.
Oh.
We brought other people into our sexual relationship.
Was that for, were you guys exploring that stuff or?
So, I mean, she, like, we both knew that we were bisexual, right? I had never had sex with a woman before.
Right.
I mean, we had talked about like having a threesome together. We felt that it was important for us to have sex with each other first. So that happened. You know, we had some group sexual experiences with men and with other women. I remember one time we met these two guys at the bar and we brought them both back to my apartment. So it was like two guys and then me and her. And one of the guys just tripped. He was like, I don't know what's going on right now. I can't do this. And he fucking bailed. And the other guy was like, well, this is great for me. Let's just do this.
Oh,
and you know, like, we just thrived off each other's sexual energy. And that's continued throughout the years. You know, there are times where I feel, especially with women, that I don't have women in my life who I can go to and, like, recap really awesome sexual experiences, especially when things are kind of like bordering on sex work. That's something that I hadn't felt comfortable just talking to a lot of people about openly. But I always know that if I hit her up, that we're gonna vibe about it. That we're
that.
Like, I mean, even if we're in completely different places geographically, whatever's going on, no context, I can hit her up and be like, this thing happened. And she's like, oh my God, tell me everything. And it's like, whatever. Cause I have men in my life who I'm like, this happened. And they're getting off on me telling them what happened.
Right.
But with her, it's just, I feel so validated, you know? And that has fed so much over the years, but especially in those formative years, into feeling like I can own who I am. And there are lapses in that, right?
Yeah.
Me being in monogamous relationships, me going through periods of time, especially in sobriety, where I feel like I'm being told, you know, that's not sober, behavior.
Same.
It's just those periods of time where I feel that I can't own it.
Yeah.
And, you know, after getting out of a monogamous relationship earlier this year and kind of getting back into who I really am and figuring that out, because, you know, I'm 27. This is like, I'm still young or whatever, figuring this shit out.
Yeah.
It just feels so good to be like owning that. And I feel confident. And as time goes by, I'm being that person in more areas of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not hiding it. I'm becoming less fearful of expressing that that's exactly who I am.
For some reason, it reminds me of, there was a woman that wrote a book called A Course in Miracles. And there's a quote, she said, it is your light, not your darkness, which scares you the most. Mm. Who are you to play small in this world? When we choose to shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to shine, right? And so when we shrink or try to dictate what's right for other people, I think we're literally trying to extinguish what's positive and what people are doing to really, you know, discover what their utility is. And you're, by doing this, there are countless other people that could be brought into your life that you, you know, just by being you can give them permission to be them. And I think that's a really powerful archetype to talk about and to say, hey, look, you might not be the best at what you do, but girl, like what you two have like gotten, you and the anonymous person that we're talking about, it's definitely touched my life. And like, and to see it and then to reflect on those kinds of relationships that I have, and then to just be like, look, I don't necessarily like know what I'm doing all the time. I'm an old fuck, but like at the same time, I'm fucking Peter Pan, and that's fine. And like when I get judgment from people that are also on this same continuum that seem to think because they have their paradigm figured out that I should subscribe to that paradigm too, and I will find my contentedness because they found theirs. And I'm like, wait, I'm going to go ahead and find mine. And if it causes me to suffer, I'm okay with that. And like, I'm going to continue to dig deeper and look at, you know, I'm a multidimensional entity. You can call me a, you know, this white male, certain age, you know, certain economic status, certain voting party. I'm like, thanks, Google Metrics. Like, appreciate you, like, fucking, you know, putting me into a target audience. Like, thanks, society. Thanks, click over there. Thanks, click over there for telling me what I should be thinking about myself. But you know what? Here's my giant cock. You can fuck yourself with it. You know what I mean? Like, and like, I love people that are like, you know, hey, do that. I love it. Thank you. And feeling that. And then in spite of the negativity that I've heard about, you know, you were telling me about some of the negative comments you get on your Twitter. And I was like, dude, I watch like this true crime stuff. And most people that go out and kill other people or, you know, seriously hurt other people are fucking bullied. And you're bullying people. They're bullying you. Like, they don't have to fucking be on your Twitter. Like, what the fuck is that? You know?
And here's the thing with like people reacting to, because when I'm on Twitter, I am 100% myself, who I am. I'm just saying just anything that comes into my talking about my vagina healing this week. It's just, I just love that I can talk about that. And the thing is that, you know, for every one person who's saying you're fucking gross, there's like 30 people saying you're amazing, I love you, please keep being unashamed of who you are.
Yeah.
And putting this out there. Huh. It's attractive.
Yeah.
It is attractive to own who you are.
For sure.
And even when people don't necessarily agree with it, I think it says a lot about people who don't agree with it and can still look at you for being that and be like, fuck yeah, you know exactly who you are.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So did we have other inquiries from listeners that we wanted to talk about?
Um, really what I want to get into, because, you know, we have received a lot of feedback. There are a lot of things that people are kind of wanting us to talk about, but I wanted to get into something that's played a significant role in my life lately and something that you have experience with as well, which is porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, some of the kind of like negative reactions that I'll get from people who are like, you know, vaguely interested in my content mm-hmm. and are frustrated with the fact that it costs money mm-hmm. is, you know, well, if I can go watch this for free somewhere else, why am I going to pay you for it? And the answer is very simple. Because you are finding me through an avenue that shows you that I am a real person. When I'm on Twitter, when I'm on TikTok, whatever social media that I'm on, or even people who know me IRL. All
right.
If you see like who I am, what my personality is, because even when I'm on Twitter, I'm not just posting ho shit all the time. I'm not playing the role of someone who's making porn.
Right.
I'm not tweeting with the intention of, oh, let me get however many people as possible as I can to go like want to go over to my OnlyFans or whatever. It's like I'm just being myself, and yeah. people are attracted to that, and that's what makes my porn valuable. That's why people pay for it, because they're like, this is like who this person is. You know, she's whatever positive things they might think about me, and they're like, I really want to look at her pussy, or yeah. I really want to watch her blow yeah. somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fucking fantasy shit for sure. It's like being invited in. Right. And the money is it's not about, quote unquote, the money. It's really about, I support what you're doing and I validate what you're doing. And this is my contribution. And this is how I can show you that I approve of, you know, and that in my own way, I'm participating in what you're doing. And I
because
think
it's genuine for me. I'm not playing a role when I'm making porn. Like I'm just recording things that I already like to do. I'm not, you know, asking people what they want me to do and then doing things that I feel uncomfortable about. Like, the porn that I'm making is the sex that I'm genuinely having just on camera. And, you know, I made a video earlier this week of, you know, something that I very much enjoyed. And I'll tell you what, it hasn't sold. But I love that it exists. It was something that I really wanted to do. It's something that's in line with a lot of porn that I've been watching for years. And I'm like, I want to have this done to me and I want to have a video of it. And even if I'm the only person who's watching it and uh-huh. getting off to it, or whoever, friends of mine that I've chosen right. to send it to for free, that's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want to make this porn for me. I'm passionate about it. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. So I'm sort of similar. It's like being a consumer of porn and then also having my own sexuality. I think a lot of, and I've explored this a little bit, where it's like, why am I attracted to this genre of porn or that genre of porn today? You know, and I don't always know the answer to that. So what I've sort of done in my, you know, reflective periods is I look at why, and without, you know, removing, you know, the reason that I'm attracted to it, right? Like I don't need to describe everything I'm attracted to, but like if I'm attracted to something, it's like a big sign, like go explore this, right? So part of being a porn consumer is like, I would love to do that, you know, with that person, you know, or someone that is like that person. And like lately, like I love like the little scenes and stuff. Like I'm a big fan of like, I really like, what's his name? Owen Gray. And I really like James Dean.
Oh, I love Owen Gray and James Dean. Oh, so much.
So I have a couple of partners that I've been fucking lately, and, they wouldn't be good to do video with. Like one girl was like, grab the fucking camera, I want to see this later. And I was like, you know, smashing out and like trying to hold this fucking camera at the same time. It's like, trying to be a creative person and a producer at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I was like, you hear me on the video. I'm like, I can't do both. You know, like I need
I'll literally be in the middle of like sucking dick. And in my mind, I'm like, I really hope that he's holding the camera the right way to like perceive this.
So, you know, I've done, you know, the precursor to Chatterbait. I had a girl that I was, you know, in a sort of committed relationship. Like we had a house together. We, you know, did a lot of different things together, but, we would do porn for extra money, but we really just enjoyed fucking. And like, we found out we could make money. Like people liked it. And there mm-hmm. were times when like her friends would be over doing the typing, you know, these girls, and like holding the camera, and we're just fucking, and like people are like requesting like, oh, fucking stick it, you know, right here, stick it there, you know what I mean? And so the girls would tell us that, right? And we would do that. And then
that's so smart. That's the thing I hate about camming, is that it's like I want to do my thing, but I also feel inclined to like be in the chat as well.
You have to have a moderator. So
yeah,
so here's the thing, is like one of the girls that was like holding the camera, like while I'm smashing out my partner, I'm like, oh, this bitch wants me to fuck her. Like I could tell, like, and like ended up like smashing her out, like not on camera. You know what I mean? Because like you can tell, like, and so what's exciting for me is like, and it, I think it was like during COVID, I had met a younger girl that was like down to do porn to make money. And she's like, you know, I'm like, well, I got a pretty nice dick. Like, I can fucking do porn with you. Like, you can take all the money. I don't give a shit. And like, you know, we went ahead and did that. And like, it's still a valid way. Like, she made money off of it. And there was a point where I was making like $600 a day every time we would stream. And we'd stream for like 2 hours. And like, in my brain, I'm like, you know, do it as a business, as a side business, right? Like, I have this, you know, other job and this other career, but like, I'm also, you know, a creative person. I really enjoy sex. I really enjoy sex with this like niche type lady. And like, you know, it's finding, you know, obviously it's very easy to find men that are willing to do porn, right? Every guy thinks in the back of his mind that he can do it. The reality of that is, it's more than you think. It's, you know, there's a lot.
The idea of it, yeah.
Very sexy.
But when it comes down to actually doing it, I've definitely had some people back out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So for me...
And nobody wants to show face. Ugh.
Well, I mean, you can do that, though. But, like, the thing is, you know, there's some really fascinating documentaries.
Documentaries.
On producing porn. And, you know, for me, I like younger girls, like 20, you know, to like 25. Like, that's like my, for whatever reason, I love that. And I love the dirty talk. And like,
you're like 22 years older than me, and I'm too old for you.
Yeah, you're definitely too old for me. and so what I like is, you know, bringing and sharing the experience of like really getting fucked with someone that hasn't really ever really been fucked, and like them realizing that they're gonna get fucked, and like, and I'm like, we should document this. And they're like, the Scarlet Letter shows up, and I'm like, this is fucking gold. Like literally, this is fucking gold. And like, we could make a lot of fucking money doing this, but the Scarlet Letter makes it impossible, you know? And like, I'm not gonna, you know, pay you to do it, because then you're going to feel like a fucking, you know, the other Scarlet Letter, the big W word that I'm not allowed to use anymore on our show.
What?
Whore.
I mean, it's all, you know,
in context.
Different terms for sex work, yeah. Whatever. Although, of course, sex work can mean a lot of things.
For sure.
By putting porn on the internet, I'm a sex worker.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Anyway, I talked too long again. So,
No, I think that was great. That was perfect.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, coming back to the whole like Scarlet Letter thing, I think we discussed it in the second episode, which I think we both very much enjoyed putting it this way, but it's like, man, other people are not having the kind of sex that we're having. And when you really own that shit and put that sexual energy out there,
it's attractive.
And it's something that I perceive in other people, I'm like, oh, this dude fucks.
Yeah. And that's a thing. And it's an area that people want to be good at. And when they're honest with themselves, they realize that they are not, right? And so for me, it's produced a lot of challenges. Like, I can walk into a room and pick the three girls that would fuck me. And like, especially since I'm in recovery, it's like a big, you know, all these puritanical fucks are like, don't sleep with new people. And I'm like, well, when I was like going to a new school and the goth girl that was like, you know, hated everybody at the school, saw me come in with like black clothes and a fucking mohawk and like could tell that like there's something going on with that guy, and like we end up hooking up, it turns into a good thing. But like in this context, don't do that. You're a bad person.
People look negatively upon sex being an aspect of ingratiating yourself into an area of society. Like when I'm presented with a new community, of course I want to make friends, find like-minded people. I want to fuck people.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like I'm part of that community. That's a big aspect of it.
That's ancient shit.
And I'm a sexual person. I show up in a community and I'm like, I need to be having sex with people that are here.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And it's, especially living in the part of the country that we do, it's, you know, in the Bible Belt, it's like there are these fucking puritanical paradigms, you know, that, you know, people want to force on you. And it's like, I've suffered. I know that you've suffered too. And it's, I really think really what we're dealing with in this format, in this show, I think it's something that it's like, if people don't talk about it, it continues to happen. The more cognizant we are of it and the effects that it has on something that's like, okay, how many fucking good chemicals are released when you have sex? Like, you know, oxytocin, fucking, you know, endorphins, GABA, like there's regenerative, like there's a lot of positive, you know, built-in reasons to have sex that you find enjoyable. And there are all these like, you know, assholes out here that are like, you know, it's only right if you do it like this, or it's this or that. And
like we're within this context.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to talk about it and we're going to label you. You know, we would expect you to wear this S letter, you know, so that we can identify you and like stay away from you. Cause it's like, oh my God. Like, and I've literally like unplugged from my recovery community because I'm just like fucking tired of it. I'm like, it's not like, oop, poor white, you know, heterosexual male, you're, you know, so judged and castigated. But it's like the social pressure of like, you know, it's not okay what you do, like having sex with somebody consensually that wants to have sex with you. It's not okay that you do that. Well, I looked at the laws and like I'm following every single.
Seems like it's cool.
Like yeah. She's not bothered by it, you know?
Yeah. And I get what you're saying about like pulling back from that community, because I know that I, you know, recently I've made a lot of decisions about who I'm fucking that are kind of narrowing my dating pool, right? Like I decided that I'm no longer going to pursue people who don't have experience being poly or ethically non-monogamous, unless it's like a strictly sexual non-feelings type situation, which is its own complication because I can never promise that I'm not going to develop right. feelings for anyone. But within the recovery community, I've made a decision to not engage, like to not date people in that community, to not fuck people in that community. And I struggle with that because I'm in it. I'm yeah. still going to it. I'm doing it. And just last week, I met someone in recovery, and I'll tell you what, he's new, and I want to fuck him. Right. I want to fuck him real bad.
Yeah.
but that whole stigma and the whole thing that floods into my brain of like the potential complications and like how people are going to feel about it and how it's going to affect like this and that is like, no, bad. Don't do it. Like, don't. Oh, but I want to. Oh, I want to so bad.
Oh, my God. It's okay. So this is a subculture. So it's hard to really like for the listeners to really that don't have this experience of the microcosm of recovery to understand the pressures that can be applied to you from those communities. But there are communities that are similar, like your family, like, you know, like you were telling me about, you know, having to come to terms with like, maybe if your mom finds out you're doing this podcast, right? Like, how do you deal with that? Like my mom, she wouldn't even give a shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Not what I want to listen to. She's like, if it was about astrology, I'd probably listen. You know what I mean? But like, you know, not, I don't care about your sex life. You know what I mean? Like, she's just like, as long as you're happy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, going to be happy, you know, whatever. And like, when I think about this culturally, it applies to, you know, kids in high school, they're having sex with each other. Not legal, still happening. Right? Like, okay. People in the dorms, right? It's like, you know, they get together, people have sex. Sometimes people regret having sex. They rescind
consent
post events, which to me is an odd phenomena that happens. It's like, I'm into it now, but later I'm going to tell you that I was not into it. It was not what I wanted, and I'm going to ruin you. I've seen that. I've also seen people in recovery, like, target people and manipulate them and take that sexual attraction and really, you know, manipulate, control, abuse. And I've had experiences and seen experiences where people new in recovery are not, you know, doing whatever drink or drug. And they're horny as fuck and they want to get laid while staying sober. And it's like, hey, this is free drugs. Like, these aren't bad drugs. These drugs are restorative. And we can have, like, you know, an agreement where, like, this doesn't cross lines in your recovery. And it's not an abusive thing. And it's not me replacing the work that you need to do and put into the recovery process. And while this intimacy that we're attracted to each other to explore, right? There are things that will naturally come up in there where it's like, you've been in recovery for so long that this other person hasn't. There might be something that you say to them in passing after you hook up that is like a key in their brain that they get something about recovery that they would have never gotten listening to some jackass at a meeting that tells them, you know, you shouldn't date until you've been sober for at least a year and a half, at least 2 years before you start trying to have sex. Now, you can go masturbate to the fucking kiddie porn all you want, but you can't go and put your penis inside of another person because that's wrong. Really? Okay. Wow. Fuck you. I shot fucking heroin and I drank fucking every kind of booze trying to figure out which one I could successfully drink so that I could like be around assholes like you. And not want to fucking hurt you for opening your fucking mouth, you know? And to me, it's like, I don't care if I do it wrong or if I talk too long or whatever. Somebody has to fucking say it. Own your own sexuality. Try not to hurt anybody. If you do hurt somebody, own that too. And either A, learn from it. B, don't hurt them again. C, you know, seek therapy if you're obviously unable to stop hurting people. But like, it can't be this scarlet letter where we just fucking tell people to go fucking kill themselves. Go by yourself. Go do what you do alone. We don't want you a part of us. That's bullshit. And to me, that's like, for me, like, I'm super passionate about people being entitled to express themselves in the way that they were designed to express themselves. And as long as they aren't actively hurting people, or if they have hurt people, that they own it, I think it's fair. And I don't think that it's like, imagine, I'm fucking talking too long. Imagine a serial killer that's like, oh, I'm fucking torturing animals. And They say people that torture animals tend to turn into serial killers. But I'm so fucking embarrassed that I'm not going to talk about it. 10 years down the line, we're looking at the fucking news clips. We're like, why did nobody do anything? Well, it's because our culture tells you to fucking not talk about this shit. Constantly. Hide it. And I think it's a fallacy. I think it's a cultural problem. I think it's a root source of a lot of illnesses that are happening in our culture. And I think it's like such a plain, in our face thing that we can just be open and we can explore. And like your friend that we talked about at the beginning,
I was about to bring her back up again. The fact that I feel uncomfortable talking to most people about these experiences, that's unhealthy. That makes me feel like I shouldn't be owning this. That makes me feel insecure. It affects my self-esteem. It affects the way that I look at sex. When I have people around me who are stoked about it, who want to hear about it, who are supportive, that makes it, I think, easier and more comfortable for me to own it. And a lot of that, what's been happening lately, as I mentioned earlier, like being more open about being slutty, being polyamorous, you know, having doing the things that I want to do, I've been more open about that with people. Like my fear of showing that to other people is going away. And like a lot of it is like, you know, prospective partners. I mean, like maybe they will be less attracted to me when I show them this part of myself. Fuck that. Because I have way better relationships, way better sex, more intimacy, more pure, healthy feelings for people and with people who I show them that part of myself and they're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like that's hot. Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm 100% about it. And it ties into this, you know, Plato's Republic type ideal society that I think we should be striving for, like the greater good. Like I think, you know, one of the things that really struck a chord with me with that comment from your friend and some of the other comments that have been left is the validation of talking about it, the importance of discussing it.
Remove the stigma.
Remove all the stigmas. Because even if you're if you're doing something that is super stigmatized and absolutely hurting people, if we had a safe place for people to go and to talk to others about it and to start working on that stuff when you're having the thoughts before you act on them, you can learn to channel it in a healthy way. That I was talking to one of my guys about this. He's like, your affliction is that you like, you know, 22 or 23 year old chicks that are just like not ready for a relationship. He's like, imagine if you had the affliction of like, you want to fuck kids. And I was like, I can't fucking imagine that. You know what I mean? He's like, there are people out there that they are drawn to that. And I'm like, and they can't turn it off. I was just like, it was even such a taboo thing. I had like all my, like you want to kill a motherfucking pedo, right? I don't think they should be out there doing shit. I do think we should be better at identifying that and channeling it so that it doesn't manifest, right?
Providing a space for those people to be honest about the impulses that they're having so that they're not taking those actions. Mm-hmm. Like if those people feel comfortable going to a therapist and being like, this is what's going on, this is not good.
Right.
And then getting that help to not act on that.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously we're talking about, you know, an extreme that is horrible as it plays out. I mean, this can apply to so many other things,
but it's a spectrum,
that are not,
you know,
illegal and horrible and traumatic. This can apply to any kind of, you know, what society deems deviant sexual behavior.
Well, so that, and it's, I think it all is that scarlet letter, And I think that there, it's a spectrum. And it, you know, you have the extremes that are obviously illegal and obviously immoral or amoral, and very harmful and destructive. But then you have this other side of it where it's like, you know, most people don't engage in having sex with multiple partners, and most people don't, you know, aren't seeking, you know, a life partner like a goose that, you know, breeds with one other goose. And then if that goose dies, you don't have, you know, sex with any other geese. Like, that's what they want us to be. And it's like, there's like three other species on the planet that, you know, pair bond for life, and we're not one of them. And you can try and force that for whatever fucking reason you've chosen to enforce that on others. But like, yeah, let's not like narrow it down to all sexual deviancy that's outside of this is fucked up. Don't do it. You know,
there's so much that exists in between the extreme of things that are horrible, hurtful, traumatic, and then things that are, I mean, vanilla, basic, monogamous, settling down, like whatever, geese, right?
Yeah.
There's so much that exists in between those two extremes.
Yeah.
That makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the thing is that a lot of people who are in, you know,
monogamous,
in very much, you know, tied into that societal, this is what you're supposed to be doing, a lot of those people want to be,
oh, dude,
in the
if they
middle,
were to be
they
honest,
want to be further down the scale, and they feel like they can't, like they have no space to talk about that. They're afraid of the judgment, the things that you and I have dealt with and suffered from,
yep,
that we luckily,
yeah,
fortunately,
have
been able to overcome, to own who we are.
Right.
We've had those experiences. We are lucky, blessed to have been able to look past this,
right,
what people want, what society wants us to be in, and embrace who we really are. And that's this fucking podcast, man.
Absolutely.
This is what we're trying to do. And when we get this positive feedback, it's from people who are existing in between, you know, that very vanilla traditional lifestyle and where we're at,
yeah,
right? Curious, wanting to wander down that path, wanting to have spaces where they feel like they can talk about those things and embrace those parts,
dude,
of themselves.
The feeling of getting to fuck somebody that, like, I want to fuck them and not feeling remorse about it and, like, being, like, high five, like, and then, like, hey, you maybe want to get together again? Yeah. That over, like, God, I wish I... You know, my partner's lying in bed. I've smashed them out like 19 times this month, and God, I gotta do it again. Like, and when she goes to work, I'm gonna, you know, turn on Pornhub in incognito mode so that if she ever goes on my phone, she doesn't see that, like, I like bratty stepsis.
Or even being in those relationships where that person is not fucking you.
Oh my God,
that's so shitty.
And being a healthy person, except unable to express yourself sexually because it's unhealthy to cheat. It's unhealthy to have these, ooh, that's an interesting man. I'm going to lose my apartment. I'm going to lose the person that helps me put the deposit on my house or whatever. Like, it's like there's all these fucking consequences.
Being locked into that, I mean, there are some people who are genuinely happy doing that, and I'm not saying that that is wrong.
Dude, the amount of people I see on fucking Tinder, like, just getting out of a relationship, these motherfuckers are all polyamorous, and they don't want to fucking own it. They go through people like they go through fucking magazine subscriptions. It's like, I'll try it for a year, and then I'll start looking for something else because they fucked up. And I can't... What annoys me about this is that people tender these relationships, just like you with your friend from college. They get so close. They get to know each other in and out, what they want to be, what they're growing to be, what they're striving for. Have sex with somebody else, you're dead to me. Blocked on social media. Like, we have mutual friends. We don't even talk to them anymore because we did something that they don't like. So, like, all of that love and all of that fucking chemistry, cut it off. Because it's that same, it comes from that same place. It's like, let's reject all of the positive chemistry of that relationship because this one element isn't working out. and you're disposable.
And there might be other things about you and I that are objectionable that people don't like. But what are the main things? What are the main things that people don't like about us? It's our attitudes right. towards sex, yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it all fucking comes back to. That's the main fucking thing. So you and I, having been expelled from certain cliques, being judged by certain groups, what we have in common fundamentally...
It's the Scarlet Letter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She fucks. He fucks.
We certainly do.
Yeah. Wow. So is that the show?
I think that's the show.
Oh my God.
And it's so funny because we kind of like structured it to kind of go through these things. And like we do, it's just blossomed into so much more, talking about so many things that I didn't know if we would get into yeah. today or at all. And I feel so good about it.
Me too.
And I'm so glad that you decided not to quit doing this with me, because I love too. It. And I think it's so important.
And think about it. Our next show, we're going to be in Austin and we can record at our fucking swanky little hotel in yeah. downtown Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited. High this five. Is so good.
All right. So that's the show. Please, you know, leave us some comments. Like, please don't be a fucking asshole. Or if you're going to be an asshole, be a good asshole. And, like, provide some sort of...
Be a constructive asshole.
Yeah, be constructive about it. Like, because yeah. we're evolving. We're learning. We're not a finished product, mm-mm. you know? Socrates on his deathbed said, I don't get to be the judge of whether or not I lived a good life. That's for everybody else to decide.
Mm.
So that is it.
We want your feedback. We want your positive reviews. We are so happy that you were listening, especially if you have made it this far. Mm-hmm. Love you, love you, love you, sluts.
Yeah, slide in the DMs. Like, get to know us. Hey. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it. And we'll see you next time.